here to talk Suns NBA playoffs with us. Amin Alhassan from the new moniker,
yeah.
Meadowlark Media, joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. What's up, Amin?
What's up, guys? And, you know, Sirius XM also. I wonder if
that's true. That's true. Yeah. Sirius XM, NBA radio. But how is the new venture going?
Oh, it's great. You know, I've been working with them pretty much for 6 months now. It's just now I finally get to have, like, health benefits and dental and vision and those types of things. So
nice.
That makes my family very happy.
All right. So from your experience right now, how open is this path for the Phoenix Suns?
Oh, dude, it's wide open. It's wide. Look around, right? Like, Donovan Mitchell's on one leg. Serge Ibaka's out for the rest of the playoffs, and the Clippers are still the Clippers. You look over in the East. God knows when Kyrie's going to be back. Harden's going to give it a go today, but I'm going to tell you, hamstrings don't work like that, where you just kind of shake it off. And then Milwaukee, you know, I guess they're the healthiest of the remaining teams other than Phoenix, but, you know, they've had their bouts of kind of weakness or fragility in these playoffs. So this right now, this might be the most confident the Phoenix Suns have been about winning a championship since 2007, maybe?
Yeah. Amin Alhassan joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Easy for me to say. Going back to that Nuggets series, obviously it was a very business-like approach to what the Suns did. I wanted to get your reflections, if we could, on Game 4. And I know the series didn't swing on this call. I don't think the game swung on that call, but the decision to eject Nikola Jokic, what did you think of it?
I said I was on the radio with Sarah Kustak and Brian Custer yesterday, and they both kind of opined first, and they both said, you can't do that in that situation. And my answer was, if I had visited myself 10 years ago and said, hey, 10 years from now, you're going to be the guy sticking up for the refs. But I would have never believed it. Absolutely get his ass up out of there. Because here's the deal, guys. The series is over. You're down 3-0. You're down damn near double digits in the second half of game 4. Things were not going that way. He didn't swing wildly for that ball because, ooh, he really wanted it because they had a chance to win. Because this was a close possession game. That's the swing of a frustration of a guy who realizes what's heading his way.
Yeah.
What's heading his way is 1-2-3 Cancun. And so he absolutely was out of control. Was he going for the ball? Yeah, but he did it in a fashion that was reckless and had no place on the basketball court. If he was just trying to do a frustration foul, look, we've all played pickup ball. We've all had the frustration foul. You wrap a guy up, you hold his arm, you shove the hell out of him. What you don't do is swing wildly in a motion that can be misconstrued as perhaps a strike to somebody's face. I don't think he tried to hit him, but I also think he didn't care whether he hit him or not. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're out of control. And what it reminded me of was Andrew Bynum in 2011. Lakers were the defending champions, and they got swept by the Mavs. And at the end of game 4, Andrew Bynum just shoved the hell out of J.J. Barea because he knew, it's over, bro. You ain't going to come back. You ain't going to have no miraculous comeback. Get him up out of there. He ain't deserve to be on the court. The game and series is over.
Good stuff. All right. If you're a Suns fan, who would you prefer to play in the Western Conference Finals? Who do you think is the better matchup for the Suns, the Clippers or the Jazz?
That's a tough one because I think the Jazz are the tougher team, the better team. But, Donovan Mitchell's hurt. And we know, kind of like the hamstrings, ankles, you don't give them rest. They tend to re-injure. There's a reason why he tweaked his game at the end of game 2. He tweaked his ankle in the end of game 3. And then game 4, I think he had another kind of scare there where he hit the floor. This is going to be kind of repetitive for him because he's not getting the chance to rest it, to let it heal and snap back pretty much. On the other hand, it's the Clippers, right?
Right.
And like, look, Kawhi Leonard is better than anybody on all three of those teams that we just named. And so you have to respect that. You have to respect his championship pedigree and the fact that he's basically unguardable. But having said that, it's the Clippers. And we know that the Clippers tend to do Clipper things, right? One way or another. Yeah. And you know that Chris Paul probably, even though most of the characters are gone from when he was there, he probably wants to, you know, give him a little extra dig about, you know, how his exit happened and how, you know, he turned into the quote-unquote bad guy there. So I guess even though, like, a hobbled Donovan Mitchell, if he doesn't play, I like the Suns' chances against the Jazz without Donovan Mitchell out there, but I think the sure play is the Clippers because, you know, they go through these spells where they just don't try hard.
Yeah. And they're two wins away from a step of the playoffs they've never been as a franchise, I mean. We're about at the time to see some goofy stuff happening from the guys in the Clippers uniforms.
Goofy is definitely a word I like using to describe the Clippers. And like, I don't know if there are any Clipper fans listening right now. Just understand it. It's because your team is good we're going in on them like this. Like, if they were just a bad, if they were the Timberwolves,
I
would just laugh and brush up. But the problem is, like, we all recognize, yeah, this team is talented, man. Yeah, like, Marcus Morris and Reggie Jackson were starters on other teams in the league. I mean, they're starters now because of injuries and stuff. But, like, these are good players that they have. And Kawhi, obviously, as I said, he's a top five player in the league. And Paul George is one of the most talented players. But they just have a way about them, don't they? Of just, you know, they just, you know, and the infuriating thing about the Clippers is they have this too cool for school mentality.
Yep.
It's like, oh, we don't have to try hard. We're better than this. This is how they lost to the Nuggets last year. It's because they thought they were too damn cool. And too damn cool got them to a game seven where their coach was literally begging them on national TV to play hard. Game seven of a series that you won that 3-1 in.
Yeah, that's kind of nutty. All right, have you been paying attention to this phenomenon of new Suns fans and just how crazy they've been? And leading to the guy, the Suns and Four guy in Denver, have you enjoyed that video? Yes, you have, I can tell.
Oh, man. The best part was, did you guys see the video service of the two guys he beat up?
Yeah.
In the parking lot, walking away, like, oh, yeah, we washed this dude. And it's just like, oh, you poor sad sap. You don't know what happened. You don't know how many camera phones are out at that moment recording for the world. What happened to the two of you? Two on one and the guy sucker punch.
That was great.
You can't write it any better. And then my man said, Suns and Four. I saw Devin Booker reached out. You know, asking for the guy's info on social media. I hope to God he's sitting courtside. I hope to God he does the intro. They should bring him out and just yell out, Suns in four to start the series.
Talking with Amino Hassan from SiriusXM, also Metalark Media here on the Colter Automotive Group Sports Line. It's hard to discern right now because the Suns did play such a complete series against the Nuggets. They're on a 7-game postseason winning streak, something they've never done before. As you've seen them in the postseason, anything pop up as a real legitimate concern right now from the team? I mean,
just Chris Paul's health, that shoulder, you know, and that's the kind of injury where it can feel better and he'll be all right. And then he gets clipped on the screen and something that regularly wouldn't he'd brush off, but because it's tender, the pain kind of re-aggravates and then he's back to kind of playing on one arm. I think that's the one thing I'd be concerned about. But they've played incredibly hard through these two series. They've played with great poise. DeAndre Ayton, who we've talked about all year long, is kind of being up and down, has been so consistent. And I just want to take this opportunity to point out to all the Suns fans, for the last 10 years, every time I come on, all he does is hate on the Suns. I don't know why you guys have him on. Oh, he's a hater. He's a salty. I've been consistent. When the team is good, I'll say good things about it. But you guys are mad that I was saying bad things about a bad team. Well, guess what? The team's good. Now we're talking good about them. Congratulations. Yeah. Enjoy it.
Yeah,
perfectly said. And that's why we have you on.
Listen,
I mean,
you know, I fight the same battles. I mean, and always have, man. It's just it's kind of the way it goes. And yeah, you've been one of the rare people who've come on over the years and have had the courage to tell the truth about what the dysfunction that has defined this organization for over a decade. And those are indisputable facts. Just because they're good now doesn't mean all of that magically disappears.
Right. Right. It doesn't erase what they were bad when we said they were bad. And also, it's something to keep in the back of your mind. They're successful. They found that chemistry. They found that right fit and that right flow. But, Vic, you and I both know, it ain't the general manager and it ain't the coach, it ain't the star player who stirs it up.
Yep.
When it's the teams are going well. There's one guy who does that.
Yep.
He's managed to sit back and sit on his hands and just be the guy who sits courtside, cheers for the team, signs the check.
Yeah.
As long as that continues, I think James Jones, Monty Williams, and Devin Booker have a beautiful future ahead of them. The question is, how long will he sit on his hands and just continue to play that role?
Right. And will he go into the luxury tax if he has to, if indeed Chris Paul ends up getting a whopping kind of offer? What are your thoughts on that, the opt-in situation with Chris Paul?
I believe he's going to opt out. The number of marquee free agents on the market there's not a whole lot of them, right? It's Kawhi Leonard, and then we take a dip, and it gets to Chris Paul and Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, who are, I would say, at this stage, all lesser players. I think for Phoenix, you know how great this fit is between Chris Paul and his team, the way the teammates react to him, how much he's helped people come along. I point this out all the time. We talk about how much better DeAndre Ayton is than playing with Chris Paul. Man, Cameron Payne was out of the league.
Yeah.
Cameron Payne was out of the league with the reputation of when people say, remember Cameron Payne? Oh, yeah, the guy that did the dances with Russell Westbrook before a game.
Yep.
And now he's a guy that Chris Paul's hurt. Cam, we need you to play 30 minutes tonight. I got you. And I won't embarrass myself. And I will be a positive on the floor. That's Chris Paul right there. That's what happens when you get to go to Paul University for a season. So I think Chris Paul's importance to Phoenix is much greater than it is to maybe some other teams.
Yeah.
Who don't know how well he'll fit or not. And for that reason, I would support maybe overpaying for him. Because if you don't, now you got to figure out, how can I replace him? Who can I get in here who can do some of the same things on the court and then off the court also have the same type of relationship with my star players, with my young players, my rookies, all these guys, and my head coach? And I don't think there's many guys out there. I mean, the only other guy on the market I would point to is Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
And we know he's going to have a lot of attention from Philly, from Miami, from the Lakers over this next offseason.
Yeah. Great stuff, as always, Amin. We appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you,
Amin Ohassan, Metalark Media, SiriusXM NBA Radio. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle. Visit CoulterNissan.com.